It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, it was time to end a 20-year war. Thank you so much.
President Biden wrapping up remarks and questions from the press Thursday afternoon about the attack on the airport in Kabul earlier in the day. Two suspected ISIS-K suicide bombers struck, killing 13 U.S. troops and at least 95 Afghans just outside the airport, where thousands had gathered to try to escape the Taliban. Right after the explosions, gunmen opened fire on service members and civilians. At least 140 people were injured in the attack, including 18 U.S. service members. The attack came after repeated warnings by the United States and its allies of potentially imminent terrorist threats against the effort to evacuate Americans, other foreigners, and Afghans who've worked with foreign missions and are desperate to escape following the takeover. These U.S. deaths were the first American military fatalities in Afghanistan since February of 2020. Evacuations are continuing, and President Biden is determined to get as many people out as possible.
To those who carried out this attack, as well as anyone who wishes America harm, know this. We will not forgive. We will not forget. We will hunt you down and make you pay. I will defend our interests and our people with every measure at my command.
Seven Capitol police officers on Thursday filed a lawsuit against the former guy and some of his supporters over their roles in the January 6th attack on the Capitol. The civil rights lawsuit accuses Trump and his friends in the Proud Boys and Oath Keepers of using domestic terrorism in a failed effort to keep Trump in power, even though he lost the 2020 election. The plaintiffs, five of whom are black, said the plot used white supremacist-laden conspiracy theories, falsely alleging voter fraud, particularly in heavily black areas. Damon Hewitt, president of the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights Under Law, which is representing the officers, said the insurrection, quote, was a blatant attempt to stifle the votes and the voices of millions of Americans, particularly black voters. And now we know the identity of the Capitol Police officer who shot and killed Ashley Babbitt. U.S. Capitol Police Lieutenant Michael Byrd stepped forward Thursday to publicly identify himself as the officer who fatally shot Ashley Babbitt as she tried to force her way into the House chamber. Lieutenant Byrd sat for an interview with NBC's Lester Holt.
Former President Trump has talked about you and this incident. He says she was murdered. What does it feel like to hear that from a former president?
Well, it's disheartening. If he was in the room or anywhere and I'm responsible for him, I was prepared to do the same thing for him and his family.
Would you have his back today if you were so assigned?
I sure would, because it's my job.
As I said, your name has been on the internet for some time in an unofficial way. A lot of rumors, a lot of accusations, one of which is that you had some sort of political motive. You were a political operative.
I do my job for Republican, for Democrat, for white, for black, red, blue, green.
Byrd is a 28-year veteran of the force, and he explained that he repeatedly yelled at the insurrectionists to stop trying to break through the barricaded door to the speaker's lobby. Byrd, who is black, said he had received death threats, some racist in nature, since his identity was leaked online. So this happened on Thursday. The Supreme Court is not currently in session, but it issued an 8-page opinion blocking the Biden administration's extension of the moratorium on evictions due to the pandemic. And of course, the court's 6-member conservative majority said Congress would have to approve the policy for the moratorium to continue. So in this 8-page opinion, which is unusual for an emergency order, the court wrote, quote, Congress was on notice that a further extension would almost surely require new legislation, yet it failed to act. The court's 3 Democratic appointees dissented. But wait, there's even more. In Texas, the Republican-led House on Thursday passed new voting restrictions after an unprecedented effort by the Democrats to stop it. Remember, they left the state to deny the chamber a quorum, but enough of them returned home allowing them to take a vote, and the measure ultimately passed 79 to 37 in a mostly party line vote. The state Senate already passed a similar bill, and they'll now consider the House version, which adds new ID requirements for people seeking to vote by mail. It bans drive-through and 24-hour voting options and empowers partisan poll watchers. What could possibly go wrong? Turning to COVID news, for the first time since January, the number of people hospitalized for COVID-19 in the U.S. is above 100,000. This is due to a surge fueled by the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant of the virus. Levels are highest across the South. Florida is the state with the most hospitalizations, with more than 17,000. Texas comes in second with more than 14,000. Both these states have Republican governors who have taken drastic actions to prevent local governments from any mitigation efforts. They've banned local governments from imposing mask and vaccine requirements. Many hospitals across the country have been overwhelmed, with a lot of them running short of beds in their intensive care units. And now with this new variant, children are increasingly affected. Kids now account for 36% of Tennessee's COVID-19 cases, a new, scary, dangerous trend we're seeing around the country. Well, 58 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. and Congressman John Lewis, before he was a congressman, alongside of other civil rights giants, gathered in the nation's capital for the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. That was August 28th, 1963, when hundreds of thousands of Americans came together demanding changes. And what came out of it? Well, the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and the Voting Rights Act of 1965 were direct responses to the march and the decades of advocacy leading up to it. But our voting rights have been under attack for years now, and it's past time to take action. On Tuesday night, the House passed the historic John Lewis Voting Rights Advancement Act. Every Democratic member voted in favor, and every single Republican opposed it. This legislation includes a new formula for determining which states are subject to preclearance under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act, which requires states with a history of discriminatory voting practices to get federal approval before passing new voting laws. The previous formula was struck down by the Supreme Court in 2013. And ever since, Republican-led states are doubling down on trying to suppress your vote. Since January, 48 states have introduced 389 bills that amount to outright voter suppression. Many of them have already become law. These laws suppress voting methods that lead to high turnout. It bans ballot drop boxes and mail-in voting, reduces early voting days and hours, restricts who can get a mail-in ballot. You know, you get the idea. You've seen it happen. So, on Saturday, August 28th, on the 58th anniversary of the original March on Washington, thousands are expected again, not only in D.C., but in Atlanta, Miami, Houston, Phoenix, and other cities across the country. For info, just visit marchonforvotingrights.org. This is the only democracy we've got. We need to protect it. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is completely listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. Please click on that donate button.